This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. We are going to talk about farm to school, Umpqua Valley Farm to School, and apparently it is Farm to School Week from what I am hearing. Aaron Madlow is like a national effort?
Yeah, it's actually the month, National Farm to School Month, and it's a all across the country, and Oregon has the biggest farm-to-school program anywhere in the country, so we go all out.
So what's your, technical title? Are you, the director of this, or?
I am. I'm the executive director of Umpqua Valley Farm to School.
Well, good, because I think I said that earlier than I thought maybe I had given you a title that you didn't have, so you never know. Talk about how you got into this whole effort here locally.
Oh, gosh. Well, I grew up with farming grandparents, and I really loved that. I always loved gardening, and I moved to Douglas County in 2013 after finishing my degree later in life, and I did an AmeriCorps term at Phoenix School in the garden, and we grew literal tons of produce for the cafeteria there and sold at the farmers markets, and my goal was to bring the Oregon Department of Education Farm to School program to Douglas County. And so, 10 years later, here we are.
So how did you get from that point to this all taking place? It sounds like a lot of effort.
It has been a lot of effort, but it's just something I love doing. The idea that kids don't know where their food comes from a lot of times is really wild to me. Growing up with farming families and always having a garden. So especially in rural Oregon and Douglas County, we have a lot of food insecure families here. And so it's really important for me to allow youth and families access to healthy, locally grown food and to teach them how to grow their own food. And so, I went from growing food at Phoenix to another job that I worked at for several years where I taught nutrition to kiddos. And as part of that, I was always trying to get in the garden at schools. And so then I had this opportunity to take over an existing nonprofit in 2019. And one of their original visions was school gardens, and they just didn't have capacity to ever see that through. So we shifted focus and changed the name and have grown immensely to cover all of Douglas County now, 4 years after taking over.
You know, it is amazing how little a lot of people know about the food supply. I can remember many years ago heading to Eugene one day, and one of our kids suddenly had the realization as we passed some cattle exactly what that led to. Because before they had just equated it to a particular grocery store, and that's where all the food comes from, is the grocery store. But it's really, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, we actually do a lesson where we talk to kids about where their food comes from. It's based on a seasonal round, which is we take the lesson from the Cow Creek Education website. They have a really great curriculum in there, and it talks about Native American people and traditions of moving around to where your food is based on seasons and times of year. And so then we talk to the kids about their own traditions and foods, and then, have them choose a food. Like, what is your family tradition? What's your favorite food? And a lot of them say, mac and cheese or pizza. But at one point, that actually came from a farm, too. So we have them backtrack all the way. Where did that come from? Not the store. Where did it come from before the store? And so we back them all the way up to one time that wheat was grown on a field and that cheese came from a cow, and you have to add milk. So it's pretty interesting to me, too, that, all of our food came from there, but kids don't always understand that it comes from a store.
Well, and for some adults, if you ask about, taking the Cow Creek principles, they would name various fast food places at, different times of the week.
Yeah.
It's probably how they would do that. Is part of your interest in this whole area being able to eat healthier food?
Yeah, definitely. I feel if you are blessed enough to be able to eat local. That's huge. But just teaching kids that, you know, fruits and vegetables in any form are healthier, and it's important to have a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. And we can grow a lot here. We're in a really unique area of the country where our farmers can grow food year-round. And so just teaching kids, like, even if you have a really small space, you can grow lettuce pretty much year-round on a back porch or on a balcony.
Well, and some people like me don't seem to be able to grow anything correctly, or we obliterate it before it's done because we forget to water it, or we overwater it. So that's an issue sometimes for people. But yeah, during the pandemic, it seemed like a lot of people, because more people were working from home, got into this fairly deep.
Yeah, we actually continued throughout the pandemic growing food in school gardens because we felt it was really important to provide that to kids and keep the gardens going so that when they did come back to school, they didn't see this overgrown garden full of weeds. So we grew as much as we can. We'd harvest it and we'd stand in line at the parent pickup when they picked up their lessons and paperwork and stuff and pass out the produce. But Douglas County, we actually really kind of came inward during the pandemic, and people bought so much local. And I think, you know, again, we're in a really unique area where we do have a ton of products being produced here that we can choose from.
So are you working with individual schools or school districts, or how do you get connected with all the schools?
We do both. So as the procurement and education coordinator through the statewide Farm to School Network, we work with all of the districts in Douglas, Coos, and Curry County, actually. And we help connect them with producers to get local products into their school meals. We can also provide education resources and things to any school who is curious. You know, we help them with grants. The ODE Farm to Child Nutrition Program grant is open right now, and so we're helping a lot of schools work through that. And then we also have instructors at individual schools who teach garden education. They go into classrooms, they rotate through classrooms, and then take kids out to the garden. So kind of both of what you're asking.
And I understand, too, you do some family cookie nights sometime. Tell us about those.
Yeah, those have been a super fun addition. We started doing those this summer just as a way, not necessarily to teach people a new cooking skill, but to bring families together just so that they can cook a meal together and enjoy that meal together. And we try and focus on cultural foods. So we bring in community members from various cultures. We had a Polish cooking night. We had a pride night where we did pizzas. It was really fun. Our first one was we made tortillas. It was a like Hispanic Heritage Night. So we focus on different cultures, and then families just come to the kitchen. It's a free event. We operate out of Rainbow Kitchen in downtown Roseburg, which is our commercial kitchen. They just get to cook something together. We just did a pickle party and used produce from local farms and from school gardens, and people could build their own pickle jars and take home the pickles that they made. So that was really fun, too.
And I imagine some of your work involves interacting with the farmers as well.
Yeah, we interact with farmers quite a bit. We just finished about 12 field trips for the month of October. We do fall and spring field trips. So that's one way we interact with them. We also provide educational classes and trainings and things for farmers. So a lot of grants come through our organization that we send out to farmers, and we can help them apply for them and provide, you know, reference letters or help them actually write the grants. We have a couple classes coming up. One of them is so that farmers can get signed up to accept SNAP benefits on their own at their farms. And then we have another one that's helping them write an EQIP grant through NRCS to get high tunnels and things like that. So a lot of interacting with farms. And I just picked up a load of produce from Brozai to take out to Reedsport School District. So we're a liaison between schools and farms a lot.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back. Erin Maidlow from Umpqua Valley Farm to School. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service will talk about ag in Douglas County in the fall on tomorrow's program. Aaron Maidlaw from Umpqua Valley Farm to School, the executive director of that nonprofit organization. National Farm to School Month, you said, right?
It is.
And around the area, are there similar groups to yours in other counties in Oregon?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ones throughout Oregon. Rogue Valley Farm to School is just south of us in Jackson and Josephine County. Lane County has one. They're all over the state, actually. I think Eastern Oregon even has some. There's a couple areas that don't have someone there, but all the curriculum is available online that we use too. So schools anywhere are welcome to use it too if they don't have an actual organization helping them.
So are you kind of tied to a national group then?
We're not. We are just our own thing, but the National Farm to School Network is a really great resource. And then the USDA has a lot of farm to school resources as well.
Now, getting sometimes during the pandemic, you know, we had all these shortages of things, mm-hmm. and that even brought up the whole idea of eating food grown closer to you. That really came up a lot.
It did, for sure. I think someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but our farmers, a lot of them had increases in sales during the pandemic because of that, because they had so much available. They continued growing. Our farmers market never closed during the pandemic. We stayed open the full time so that farmers could still sell their products. And people really got into that and buying local.
Now, talk about this aspect of the regional procurement and education coordinator. So is that part of your role as well?
That is part of my role. That's my role through the statewide farm to school network. So the whole state has procurement and education coordinators in each region, and we are the ones that provide resources to any school district. You know, we help them with the farm to school grants that go through Oregon Department of Education and Department of Agriculture. We kind of help schools navigate those and help farmers navigate those. And sometimes that means doing producer buyer gatherings where we bring together farmers and school nutrition professionals. Sometimes it means I pick up a truckload of produce and take it to a school from a farm. And so we did that on October 5th, we did a statewide Oregon Crunch event where schools all celebrated National Farm to School Month together by crunching into an Oregon grown product. So I picked up about 2,000 pounds of apples total and dropped them off to schools throughout Douglas County so they could all crunch together on October 5th.
Wow. And how was that received?
I think it was great. There were a lot of pictures of the kiddos and some Roseburg schools doing it. I sent jokes and things to the principals of each school so that they could read those and discuss, you know, these apples all came from Brosai Farm, and it's celebrating locally grown. It had some facts about why, you know, supporting local is important and good for the environment and things too.
So what are some of the other organizations you work with locally?
We partner with Thrive Umpqua quite a bit, where I'm the co-chair of the Food Systems Committee along with Sarah McGregor from Feeding Umpqua, and we also partner with Feeding Umpqua in the summer for our DC Produce Project, where we pick up produce boxes. We buy produce boxes from farms and distribute them to really rural school districts like Yonkala. We've worked with Elkton a little bit, Days Creek, Canyonville. We also partnered with Valadez Organic Produce on that, and they covered South County this year. And the Boys and Girls Club helped us with that one, too, by providing activities. And then we also have a farmer who's stationed at the school farm at Phoenix School, and she's growing lots of food, really changing their school meals there. She's got a goal of having 70% of the produce in their salad bar grown at the school by next year.
Wow. Now, how many schools have their own gardens?
Excuse me. So the last Oregon Department of Education has a survey that can be found on their Farm to Child Nutrition website. And the last time the data was completed, excuse me, I think Douglas County had 31 school gardens and 23 of them were active. So we're getting ready to update that survey. to see how many are still active, but I think there's more than 23 at this point that are active.
So do you work with some of these schools, sort of helping people along, knowing what to plant, when to plant, or even where to place it given sun and shade and that kind of thing?
We do, yeah. We build school gardens at the schools that we work with. We can also provide that service. We do consultations at any school that wants one. And then we have a planting guide that we've created. We also use resources from like Siskiyou Seeds and Territorial Seed Company because they're closest to us. And so their planting calendars closest relate to our region. But our own planting guide, any school can use it. And it talks about what to plant each month. And they can write in what they've planted. And it says, like, here's when you harvest. And here's, you know, write in how much you've harvested. And then we also have a school garden manual that we can share out with anyone that's really extensive about all things school garden.
Now, I know some people, you know, the most common thing I think I'm aware of people growing is probably tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the other things that's easy for people to grow around here?
You know, anything green. The leafy greens are always really easy. I love collard greens, and I grow collard greens year round. They really thrive right now in the cooler, wetter weather. And then once the frost comes, they're really tasty. But, you know, kale, chard, lettuce is a really good one. You know, all the summer crops are great, but they're only there during the summer. So for schools, it's a little bit harder to enjoy those. But root crops too, like carrots and radishes, they definitely are particular about their soil, but they can be grown here pretty easily too.
What about bananas?
No banana. I do know one farmer that is trying to grow bananas here, and I have heard someone else has been growing them in a greenhouse too. I'm not sure of that farmer's name, but they're not the easiest to grow here. We don't have enough daylight year round, and it's obviously not warm enough here.
And what about like spices, that kind of thing? Like I'm trying to think, and spices are my weak point in life, but in terms of knowing much about them. But I hear some people grow, you know, cilantro and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Herbs are great to grow here. I mean, you see rosemary everywhere.
So it's an herb, not a spice. I get it.
It is. I think a spice is actually a seed. So like cilantro, if you let it go long enough, produces the seed, which is coriander.
Ah.
So, yeah. Spices and herbs, but they love it here. Cilantro loves growing right now when it's cooler. Once it gets warmer, it bolts, and which means, you know, it sends out flowers, and then the seeds come out of the flowers. So you can collect the seeds then. But, yeah, we've got rosemary and lavender galore here. People use it as decoration, but it's actually, you know, you can pick it and stick it in your crock pot with your roast.
It's amazing. You clearly have got a pretty strong fascination with this.
I love what I do. I'm very blessed to be able to do this for work every day.
How is your organization funded?
We write a lot of grants. So we're grant funded. We have partnerships with schools too, and so they can pay into our program. We've never required that, but it definitely helps our program be more sustainable. And so that's been something new in the last year that's really helped our program a lot.
And so do you have an office or kind of any place that people can contact you?
We do. So we have a commercial kitchen in downtown Roseburg called Rainbow Kitchen, which is where we do our family cooking nights. And that's also our office space. And we have pop-up farmers markets there, too. We've got social media that, you know, we post all those events on. But it's downtown on Cass Street.
And if people would like to find out more about any of these topics, what's the best way to connect with you?
You can check out our social media, which is facebook.com/UVF2S, or our website, which is UVF2S.org.
All right, Erin Badlow, Umpqua Valley Farm to School, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.